and welcome to episode 18 of the Divided by Werewolf show. I'm here, Brandon, that's me. Mitch is here, too.
Yep.
And we've got a bunch of things we want to get to tonight. Iron Fist, or as Mitch likes to call it, Goober Fist. It's his favorite of all the Netflix shows. Girl with All the Gifts. If we get a chance, we'll also rap about Inside, the last Play Dead platformer. I am sitting incredibly close to this microphone. It is very uncomfortable. I'm not used to this. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, since Mitch and I started podcasting, the computer that I used on Jumping the Shark has decided to drastically lower my levels, as if to say, no one wants to hear you. And rather than take the hint, I'm trying to wrangle technology to the best of my ability. So if you could see me right now, I am completely hunched forward. I need one of those screens so when I say my peas, it doesn't pop and it just looks ridiculous, but that's okay. So, Mitch, you, I guess we'll just get right into it. You're all done with Resident Evil 7, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
I wrapped the Resident Evil, I wrapped both the medium playthrough and the easy playthrough on the channel.
Why did you do two playthroughs?
I'm of the opinion that most people wouldn't want to watch me just, and I ended up doing it anyway. Most people wouldn't enjoy watching me struggle or like blindly fumble through a game, and so I felt like that's sort of what this type of game was going to be, one way or the other. And I felt like, at least on easy, that it would be less painful for anybody who wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. And so, because, you know, easy, they tend to give you more ammo, more health packs, shit like this. And, you know, sometimes, a couple of times during the process, I was ahead on medium, so I knew what to expect, knew what to do.
I gotcha.
And those episodes went really well, but when I was playing on the stream for the first time and not knowing what to do,
yeah,
it was more awkward, I felt like. So sure. I did both at the same time.
So you did two separate streams then, one of medium and one of easy, is that right?
No, I didn't stream the medium.
Your medium was like your research stream for research playthrough.
Except that there were times where I was ahead of myself on easy.
Oh. Like, I can't wait
that
to get this on medium.
Yeah, exactly. So, see, I ended up playing it twice at virtually the same time.
So now that you've finished, because I think we've all played games where maybe the ending either wasn't as strong as we wanted it to be, or the ending, like I'm of an opinion that a mediocre ending can ruin a good game, but no shitty game was ever redeemed by a good ending. Are you still, like, did the ending of the game change anything for you in terms of your opinion?
Not really. It's like I said, I thought it was fantastic. It's still very much a Resident Evil game. The ending was your typical Resident Evil thing. I thought it was pretty cool that Evie ended up being, because I kind of forgot about a character. And I was like, holy shit. And then the only thing when it was kind of like, was like the fight, like, well, obviously, like, if you saw, it was when I thought I was at the end.
Right.
And on the stream, it's hilarious. I went back and watched it. My reaction.
All right. So we got cut off. I was asking Mitch whether his opinion changed from the ending of the game. So, Mitch, has your opinion changed?
It did not, Brandon.
Well, good. No, so you said you were saying you thought you were done, and you went back, yeah, and you rewatched the stream.
Right, yeah, and my reaction to what I thought was the final boss, it was, and I'm not trying to be like, hey, go watch this episode, because I don't even remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But when this thing came at me, I'm like, everything up to this point has been at least somewhat creepy or giving me a sense of dread, and this thing shows up, and I swear to God, it looks like a Muppet. It looks like something that would be
Donald Gray.
It's like something Yeah, it's like, dude, it's like something you would see in the monster plantation at Six Flags, right?
Awesome.
And I was like, are you serious? Oh, God. But it, obviously the game kept going, and the only thing that, like, the ending was cool, but the only thing that was kind of sort of, and I'm still not sure if this is right or not, when you get to the final, what's actually the final boss, I mean, it's fucking creepy looking and shit, and you feel like, how the fuck am I going to deal with this thing? And I still don't know if you can actually lose the fight or not. I did the same thing.
What do you mean you don't know if you can lose the fight?
It seems like it's scripted. Like, it seems like the weapons, you have your weapons, and you're going into it, and you're in this room, and she's, like, just inching closer to you continuously. Mm-hmm. And so I was just, like, laying into her with a machine gun, like, shooting her, because, you know, she has, her mouth is kind of open, and she has one eye that's not all the way open, and the other eye is. So I was shooting the good eye, I'm shooting the mouth. I don't know if it's doing anything, because she just keeps coming at me. And then she knocks you out of the house. And then you land outside, and she picks you up by the leg and shit, and you're still just hanging there, and I'm still just tearing away at her with the gun. And then a helicopter comes over, and it's like, you know, the stars or whatever, and they drop out this weapon called the Albert 1, which I was like, okay, that's our nod to Wesker. And then you shoot her with that gun like three times, and then it's game over. I don't know if anything I did until I got that weapon did shit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
It was just like, it almost felt like a cutscene, that it was an interactive cutscene where I could do shit, but I don't know if it mattered.
Right. I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So and then, a very brief cameo. I know, just a real brief cameo comes in from Resident Evil 1, and then the helicopter takes off and credits roll.
Oh, wow. End scene.
Yeah.
Huh.
Pretty much.
Now, is there any sort of, like, you know, kind of new game plus or whatever? Kind of go back and do stuff again, or
it puts the Albert 1 ends up being added to your item box. It just kind of entice you to go through it again, and I think it unlocks a harder difficulty.
What's the Albert 1?
That's the weapon that they drop out of the helicopter.
Oh, okay.
That I was talking about. It's like sort of a nod to Wesker, and it's like this handgun that shoots some kind of crazy shit.
Uh-huh.
And but yeah, but they add a replica, so it doesn't do as much damage.
Oh, I see. Okay. I got you. All right. So before we run into even more, we've been having all sorts of lovely networking problems, so this ought to be a fun one to edit before we do that. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to do Iron Fist, or do you want to do Girl with All the Gifts?
I think Iron Fist is going to last the longest, so it's up to you.
Okay, so I guess we'll do... So, the 17th, I think that's when it was, is when the fourth Defender, for lack of a better word, showed up on Netflix, and that's Danny Rand, Iron Fist. Now, you're a fan. I have no previous experience with Iron Fist whatsoever. Other than I knew that he was in, like, whatever, Heroes for Hire or whatever the hell that's called. You're a big Iron Fist fan. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
And are you a fan from, like, back in the day, or has that?
Like, a lot of that stuff was sort of before my time. Like, these are characters, like, from the 70s, and I didn't really get into comics until late 80s.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought he looked badass. I hadn't read a lot.
Gotcha.
Basically, but I knew he came out of that whole, like, 70s, because, you know, the 70s were sort of
Kung Fu.
Had your disco, and you had Kung Fu, exactly, right? Like, those are the two, like, main things I think of when I think of 70s, I guess. And so I knew he was this, like, Kung Fu sort of Bruce Lee-inspired badass, and he hung out with Luke Cage, who was a bad motherfucker with a tiara and shit.
Goddamn right.
And so, but then a few years, like, and this is one of those characters sort of like Moon Knight that Marvel just doesn't quite know what to fucking do with.
I love Moon Knight. I wish to God that at some point they could do an awesome Moon Knight show.
Oh my God. And I was, like, so excited about that prospect until Goober Fist came out. But so I knew that, this was a character that was, you know, whatever. But then, again, Marvel doesn't know what to do with him. They keep trying different shit, and it's either decent or horrible, and it never lasts very long.
Right.
And it's exactly how they treat Moon Knight. And so, probably...
Moon Knight's had some good runs.
Absolutely, but they always end, because Marvel doesn't know what to do with the character. And so when the book starts to slump, they're like, well, just axe it. Fuck it. And then, you know, 5 years later, Moon Knight number one.
Like, right. This point, I don't know
what volume Moon Knight is on at this point. And 60, I keep getting them. Like 18, I have,
25.
Yeah, right. Because I have almost all of them. And every time, there's a, like, I went back and bought all the old ones. The only thing I don't really have that I really want is his first appearance, which was in Werewolf by Night, I think 32, which is a book that if you can find it for less than $400, please holler at your boy, because I want it. but I don't want to quite pay, like, that much for it.
Right, right.
But I've got most of the issues from his first actual series. I had a second appearance in 33.
Right.
I have basically the 90s run, you know, then he came back in like the late 90s or early 2000s.
Right.
And then they made him a fucking, you know, the whole thing is he's a schizophrenic Batman.
Right.
So like so many, they gave him that new personality where he was a guy who was making a reality show about Moon Knight.
Right.
All
right,
that
right.
Shit. Anyway, so back to Goober Fist. So Iron Fist, Kari Andrews did a series maybe – it has to be less than 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fucking phenomenal. It was so good. He had to – and it sort of – it made the episode six even worse for me because it was sort of similar.
Like episode six.
Man, so it was – it wasn't the hand in the book, but he had to go back to Kun Lun or whatever the fuck he says it to fight in this tournament.
Oh,
and he goes back, man. Yes. And it was so good. He told, so Kari Andrews, he wrote Andrew the book and he told Iron Fist's backstory and flashbacks. But then in the present, he was showing, you know, he's fighting in this tournament and shit. And it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, now I feel like I know the character. I already thought he looked cool as shit. Like, I'm really into it now. And so since then, like, anything Iron Fist is in, like, give me that. I need it. And none of it's been good, but right. I'm still buying it. And, yeah, so I was, you know, I always thought he looked cool. I knew a little bit, but not a lot. Then this series comes out, and I'm like, okay, I sort of feel caught up, like, comfortable enough to call myself a fan. And, man, I fucking love that book. I've told people for years, ever since it came out, got to read that Kari Andrews Iron Fist, man. And so this show comes out, and oh my god!
All right, well let me ask you this before we get into the show. Okay, before we get into the show, do you, based on the overall quality of this show so far compared to the other Daredevil seasons 1 and 2, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage? Do you feel like they set out to make an Iron Fist show, or they set out to make a show that would explain who he was when time came for the Defenders?
Ooh.
Because I think it's the second
question.
One. I honestly don't know. I mean, I like the show. Is it my favorite? No, it's not. For everything I like about it, there's three or four things where I'm like, what the fuck? And we'll get into that shit. But more than anything, I'm just kind of surprised that it is the level of quality that it is. It seems to me like they went, well, when the Defenders show up, people are going to be like, who the fuck is this guy? We can't take the time to set him up in the Defenders. Yeah. So we're going to need to, you know, do it now. But without the same kind of budget and eye for quality that we used on the other shows.
All right. Now, I didn't do research, but I had a question for you, actually. And usually, and the reason why it comes up is because when I was watching Six today, I never watched the credits for the end of any of these shows. Okay? I never do.
Yeah.
I always, you know, as soon as the credits go, I click to the next episode or I just turn it off.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, and full disclosure, I've been watching this shit at work. And so I was maybe doing something else, and the laptop was just going. And then I look over at the end of the credits, and all of a sudden, it's showing, like, the Marvel logo and then Netflix. And then something popped up. It caught me completely off guard.
What's that?
And it almost, it said, ABC Studios.
Really?
Like, yes, like the network, like ABC. And I'm like, that makes fucking sense.
Well, actually, that doesn't, it makes sense, but it doesn't, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten really fucking good.
But still, man, is it like Daredevil good? Like,
it's
is it
better
that
than
dark?
It's better than Iron Fist? I'll tell you that much. They're doing the whole LMD thing now. It's really good.
Huh? See, I don't watch that, but that's just the thing. Like, because this strikes me, and I've said it on Twitter many times, as a network show. Like like it belongs on the CW.
No, okay, okay, okay. I'm gonna stop you right there. Because I would put any fight scene in Arrow above any fight scene. I would take any fight scene in Arrow, especially season two. Season two of Arrow is fucking amazing. Watch that shit again. Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, that whole thing.
I guess.
I would put any fight scene in Arrow above what they have done in Iron Fist.
Okay.
Well, and that's not because I'm a huge fan, and I am a huge fan. That ain't because I'm a huge fan. That's just because they're just better, which is sad. And this is, again, kind of going back to, like, where is the quality faltering? Why is it faltering?
Right.
Because this guy is supposed to be the greatest, like, martial artist who ever lived, right? Like, that's the whole part of being the Iron Fist, right?
A living weapon, right?
A living weapon. And we've seen flashes of that. Like, we've seen some pretty cool shit. Like, at the end of episode two, when he punches that fucking door off its hinges, you're like, holy shit, that's awesome. But then he gets in a fight in the file room, and you're like, what the fuck is this? So, and now Finn Jones, and he's the guy who plays Danny Rand. You don't watch Game of Thrones, so you never saw him as the gay Martell. I forget his name. He has said that there were nights where he showed up to shoot, and 15 minutes before they're shooting the scene, he's learning the fight choreography. Why?
Well, it shows. I didn't know that, but it fucking shows.
Yeah, you're damn right it shows, but the question is why? Like, what is it? Were they rushed? Were they trying to write the Defenders at the same time they're writing this? Like, what exactly was the reason that they would not give this cat enough time to prepare? Because I don't blame him for the fight scenes itself. Like, if it's a situation, I mean, unless he's just talking shit and he just didn't train. But I don't get that feeling. I feel like he knows the stuff that he's shown is enough to know, okay, he went through some training. It may not have, whether it was enough or what, who knows. But if he's saying that 15 minutes before shooting starts, that's when he's learning how the fights are going to go. Well, why is that?
Yeah. And that's nowhere, that's like no brainer. There's no way that's enough time. At all.
Not
like,
for some of the stuff they're trying to do.
Even if he was the fucking martial arts expert, he couldn't choreograph these fights in 15 minutes.
Exactly. It has nothing to do
with... That's insane.
Right. I mean, being trained in martial arts would certainly help, because there would just be some things that you would just kind of know already.
Sure.
But yeah, that's like, you know, I mean, you could have somebody who's a great dancer, and then they show up and you're like, okay, here's their whole routine 15 minutes before you're supposed to start. I mean, is it going to be easier for them? Are they going to be able to make it look better? Yes. But is it going to be enough to make it look great? Probably not.
Right. No. Wow. I didn't hear that. I mean, it makes sense. It looks that way.
And the problem is, I think in part, they had – so Daredevil, even though he was trained by ninjas, Matt is still very much a boxer in the way that he fights, especially in the Netflix show. It's more like brutal, like right up close, kind of in your face.
Luke Cage doesn't have to fight. All he needs to do is fucking thwack a dude with his, you know, he just needs to kind of tap him on the forehead, and that guy's knocked out. Same with Jessica Jones. They don't have fighting styles because they're so strong and they're invulnerable. They don't have to have fighting styles. They just have to fight your regular barroom shit, and not even that. Like, if you watch the scene in Jessica Jones when she shows up to Luke's bar and he's, like, fucking up these dudes, he's not fighting. He's just doing what you and I would do if we were swatting bugs. This is the first show that required, like, really good fight choreography, and they totally dropped the ball.
Yeah.
They totally dropped. Like,
absolutely.
And absolutely. That, like, I could forgive... I could forgive, you know, Danny Rand being completely clueless, which he is. If the fight choreography was good.
Same here. I wouldn't be near as hard on it as I am if I, you know, but again, I didn't know that he didn't get, I was like, I've been all over his ass, as you know, and I just, ugh.
Well, I think he does shoulder some of the blame. I think that, okay. So the for those of you who watch or don't watch, whatever, the basic premise is that Danny Rand was, he was 10 years old. He was on a plane with his parents, and his plane crashed in the Himalayas, and he got taken in by these monks in the famous the hidden city of Kunlun. Kunlun, and it's a city. The way is only open once every 15 years, and Danny trained to become the Iron Fist, who is the sworn defender of Kunlun, but also the only person who can defeat the Hand. He comes back for reasons we still don't know why, find out that his company is being run by, so his dad started the company, this guy named Howard Meacham is being run by Meacham's kids, and the Hand has, like, infiltrated his company, and now he's kind of going about setting things right. But this motherfucker, here's the problem. I don't think it's entirely his fault. There's a few things that they could have done to make this a better show. They needed to try to figure out what are they trying to do? Are they trying to tell a story that is a fish out of water story at the same time as it's a superhero story? You know, this guy was raised in a monastery for 15 years. He doesn't really know, you know, like what's it, caveman lawyer, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, always confuse and frighten me, you know, like, you know, are they trying to tell a fish out of water story? Where he is supposed to be kind of clueless because he just genuinely doesn't remember. I mean, he was 10 years old. Most 10-year-olds are clueless. You take a 10-year-old and you put him away from society for 15 years. When he comes back in, 15 years is a long time. When you consider over the past 15 years how the world has changed, and you were taken away from that at a time when maybe you might not have. We don't even know how much he was a part of it to begin with.
He was ridiculously
wealthy, so we don't know how kind of sheltered he was. But anyway, he could have – it would make sense for him to be clueless. So that would be thing number one. Go full on that route. Then that would kind of make sense. The other thing that you could try to do is set up, at least at first – this idea of, is this guy actually Danny Rand? Because he shows up and he's just like, I'm Danny Rand. And they're like, you're a homeless guy. You have no shoes. You're wearing this raggedy ass shit. You're carrying around this 15-year-old iPod. Ain't nobody know who you are. And he's like completely incredulous that nobody believes him. Now, then he's having these weird flashbacks of his parents' death, and you could tell he's having some sort of, like, mental distress, and then he's got a passport with a different name. At first he says, well, I don't know who that is, and then he's like, no, I used it to break into the country. You could have very well, for the entire first two episodes, set this up as a, is this guy who he says he is, or is this just some crazy cat who is just saying this is what he is. And then when he fucking punches open that door with the iron fist, you could be like, okay, yes, it is him. But they just seem like they didn't see. So they have all of these things. They have, like, I said on Twitter that, listen, we just recently adopted a new dog. She's a black lab. She's fucking great. But if she was a yellow lab, I would have named her Danny Rand because they are the same. They're fucking, they're internally optimistic, completely clueless, and just mostly befuddled, you know? And that's how he is. And it comes off, I think a better actor could have made it come off as like almost this kind of boyish charm. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm sorry, right. I've been away for a while. You know what I mean? Or I wasn't here. And then, but he just kind of comes off as just like a doy. You know, like he's like
a goober. I call him Goober Fist.
Yeah, episode 5. So he's kind of become friends with this woman, Colleen Wing. She's daughter of the dragon. And she's giving Claire Temple, Night Nurse, a lesson at her dojo. And he shows up with this fucking full on, like, catered meal. And she's just like, what are you doing? And he's like, I ordered takeout. And she's like, I'm giving a lesson. And he's like, nah, it's cool. I ordered. And he's not, here's the thing, he's not malicious about it. Mm-hmm. He's not like, well, I don't give a fuck that you're giving a lesson. I ordered takeout. I need your help. You're going to help me. He genuinely just doesn't seem to know how adults behave. You know? Like, you can't just roll up in somebody's house and be like, I got dinner. Stop everything. You know, all right, stop what you're doing because I'm about to ruin what, you know. You know, this ain't the Humpty Dance. Like, he just seems genuinely confused that she would be like, wait, no, I actually have something else. And I love that scene because Claire, she's fucking having none of it. She's like, oh, yes, I will stay for dinner because I don't know who you are. She's my friend. She clearly is uncomfortable by this whole thing. So I'm going to sit here with her because I don't know if you know, but I've seen some shit.
Right, exactly.
And I love that they did. And so, and that's the thing, and that's what so bothers me so much about the show, is that there are so many good moments, but there are not a lot of good episodes. Like, as you get farther into it, I love the stuff they do with Joy and Ward. I think they've done a really good job of making these two obviously very close brother and sister without turning it into this weird sexual thing. They haven't turned them – at first you kind of think, well, maybe they're villains. And then you just realize, well, they're just trying to hold on to this business that they've essentially sunk their entire life into. And then here comes, you know, Johnny Monastery, and he's like, we're giving everything away for free. And they're like, what the fuck, dude? And I love how they resisted the urge to just turn them into these villainous, like, corporate raider types. They actually, especially Ward. Ward is great. Like,
favorite character.
You tweeted with him, like, giving the finger to everything.
Yeah.
And Ward, like, when you watch episode 7, you'll love Ward even more. And I think that, the actor who plays him, and unfortunately I don't have his name here, has done a great job. The actress who plays Joy has done a great job, because I think that it would be too easy to just kind of go, well, they're business people, so they're inherently evil. And you got to put yourself in their situation. Here this dude shows up, and even once he establishes that he is who he is, they're like, well, we worked our entire lives for this.
Yeah.
And our parents worked their lives for this. And now you're kind of rolling up and just expecting that we're just kind of going to do whatever. Like, it doesn't work that way. So I like them. And I don't – like, later conversations that Finn Jones has, he does do a good job of giving moments of where you get a feeling of what Danny went through when he was in the monastery. But there's so few and far between.
Yeah.
And half the time he just seems like he just genuinely has no idea what is going on. And that is just not what you want in a leading man.
Sure.
Unless
you're going other shit.
Right. Unless you're going full on with it. Like, one of the things, I don't know, do you watch Legends of Tomorrow on the CW?
Ugh, I tried.
It's much better now. It is much better now.
Yeah.
For real. Like, the first half of the season, my wife, she was like, I'm not watching this anymore. If you want to keep watching it, knock yourself out. And I was like, okay, well, I like everybody. I'm going to keep watching it. The second half of the first season was great. Second season has been fantastic. But one of the things that I like about it is Roy Palmer on the show. He is that kind of eternally optimistic doofus. But he's not he still understands how the world works. He just is so optimistic about things that he's not willing to let it bring down his idea of how it should work. So he knows how it does work. He's just optimistic about how it should work. That's what they needed to do with Danny.
Yeah.
But what he has is the cluelessness minus the understanding of how things actually work.
Right. I absolutely agree with that. I really wish they had handled it better. Like I said, man, I know what they were trying to do. I just hate how they did it.
Right. And I think to a certain degree, like, and when I think about like what that payoff would look like, where, and I mean, it's really hard to not bring like race and money and all that stuff into it, because I mean, right, we've, you know, especially now, like I don't like to bring a lot of politics into the show because everybody has different, but I mean, we have the leader of the free world is a fucking billionaire doofus. Like, that's what he is right now. And we're all supposed to pretend his shit don't stink because he's got a bunch of money. He doesn't know jack shit about how to do the job that he has. And so it's hard to not bring some of that into this, where you're like, okay, you're a good-looking white dude, and the only thing you have is the fact that you're rich. And you're saying that you're this, like, you know, super martial artist guy, but you're not really showing it. And that is not his fault. It's not his fault that he's not showing it. That's just, unfortunately, the you know, kind of the fight choreography or whatnot.
Right.
But it's hard not to kind of look at how the world is right now and be like, really? Like, really? Like, yeah. You know, there wasn't a better, maybe a woman, you know, maybe just throwing that out there, like at Quinlan, that you could have... Could have been the Iron Fist. Just anyway, and I think that when you consider Danny's money and his race, and I mean, he did work hard to become the Iron Fist, and he said that, but he also said, yeah, like, I wasn't really sure what it meant. I just kind of wanted it because they told me I couldn't have it. And you're like, really? Like, that doesn't seem like a good reason. Like, that seems like the worst reason. You know, like.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, when you think about like what kind of interplay he could have with Luke Cage, being who he is, if he was just kind of this goofy, eternally optimistic guy, that would make for some really good TV. But unfortunately, they've kind of set him up as just being like incompetent, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such a wasted opportunity.
Yep.
Now, what about, do you like Colleen? I don't really know anything about her.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you if she's a character that's straight up just for the show, or is she's from canon. I have no idea. Like I said, I don't remember her being in the Carrie Andrews thing. I don't know. She's all right. The thing she sort of...
Go ahead.
No, she sort of falls in the same category for me. Like, she, I don't know, like, and it wasn't until today where I was like, all right, fuck her too. Because,
like, you know what?
Right?
Fuck
so
you,
the
fuck
whole,
you, fuck you. Who's next?
Right. Until today. Right? Episode 6.
Yes.
And it's, the interplay was hilarious to me, because he's like, she's told him nothing but go the fuck away.
Right.
For 5 3/4 episodes. And he's done nothing but keep showing the fuck back up. And she's
well,
like,
you'll be sad to hear that it. I don't think it probably will surprise you in episode 7 that she stops telling him to go away. We probably knew that was coming.
Right. I know that. I get that. But it's just so funny to me. The whole time she's been like, no, no, you can't have a job. No, fuck you. No, you can't stay here. No, get the fuck out of here. No, I got this to do. No, you just. And right. Then he shows up with a Russian chemist with a stab wound in his chest, and he's right. Like, I'm not trying to bring you into this, but he has to stay here.
right. I'm not, I know, hey, baby, hey, hold on. Can I holla at you? I know that you had the hand come here before, and I know that Howard has had some goons come by here, But yeah. Now hear me out. I have this guy, and he makes drugs for the hand, and I stole him, and he needs to be here in your shitty ass dojo. Is that cool? All right, okay. I gotta run.
And he literally says it. She's like, "No, we can't." He's like, "We'll just put him in your bedroom. It'll be fine."
Right.
And I was like, "What the fuck?
Right?
No, really? Like, right. Not even. We'll just put him in the back room. No, he's gonna take your room.
Yeah,
you're gonna be okay.
He got a clean sheet. He can't sleep on this." It reminds me of my favorite Key and Peele sketch, the Drax Them's Clowns, when they're like, you know, "Can we count on you?" And he's like, "No." And they're like, "I'll take that as a yes." Like
yes, exactly. But then, right? So then he's like, he does that, and like almost the next sentence, he says something about having to go after the hand, and she's like, "You're not alone." And he's like, I can't bring you into this. I'm like, what?
Bitch,
I'm sorry. Since when, motherfucker? Really? And she's like, "You're not on your own.
Yeah.
I'm on your team now." And I was like, all right. Yeah. I was just, oh, God, man. It's so bad.
Yeah. The thing for me with her, like, I really like her. I just feel like she doesn't have... Like, I understand at first kind of why she got involved with him, because she was just like, "Look, this crazy motherfucker shut." Like, these people are clearly up to no good. Like, when Ward wanted her to sign that stuff, like, they're clearly up to no good. And I don't know why, but now I'm involved. So, to a certain degree, I do have some, you know, whatever. Like, I can't stay completely out of it because... now you've got my dojo involved. You're coming to my house.
Right.
Like, I kind of understood that, but now it makes no sense other than just she's like, you know, he's cute or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, the fight scenes they do get better. They do get better. They're not great, but they do get better. I actually like the cheesy. You know, Kung Fu tournament, Mortal Kombat thing. And I liked in episode 6, I liked how they used that to kind of show some of his internal dialogue with, like, one of his masters, you know, like...
The Thunderer.
Yeah, like, I really liked that because, you know, I felt like it showed some like, we hadn't... Like, one of the biggest problems that we've had so far is we don't know who Danny really is. You know, he's just a guy. And so that gave you and some understanding of not just what he went through, but like at the end when he really is struggling, like, do I, you know, if I kill this, like, so basically Danny goes into this Mortal Kombat type thing because he's trying to save the chemist's daughter, and he gets an invitation from the hand and they're like, "We won't fight you." And he's like, "All right, cool." And he's like, "If I win, she comes with me." And they're like, "Okay, cool. If you win, if we win, I don't know what happens if we win, just the Iron Fist is dead and yay for us. We don't have to watch anymore."
Right.
And so he gets to where he's fighting the last guy, Scythe or whatever his name is, and they change the terms of the deal on him. And are like, "No, you can't kill him, but you can take the girl." And he's like, "All right, cool." But all the time, you know, the main, whatever, his conscience, what's his name? The Thunderer?
The Thunderer, yeah.
He's basically like, "Motherfucker, you're here to destroy the hand. He's the hand. Get to destroying." And Danny's right. Like, "No, I can't. She'll die." Like, and you could see that he had some struggle there. He was trying to figure out, like, what's the right thing to do. You know, I know this is my purpose in life, but this would mean that she dies. Like, I appreciated that they actually gave you some insight as to kind of who he was.
Yeah.
They just, you know, maybe didn't do as great a job with it as they could have. So I watch a lot of bad TV. I've had a hard time. Like, I know you dislike it a lot more than I do. I said to my wife, and I was like, "Okay, you know, my problem with this show is that I watch a lot of bad TV, and I actually enjoy bad TV. I know that's stupid, but I do. And I also recognize, though, it makes it really hard for me to be critical of TV because I don't know if I like something. I don't know if it's good. And I know that's a stupid thing to say, but that it is what it is. Like, most of the time I can be like, okay, that show is actually bad. I just happen to like it. And at first with this show, I was like, I'm not sure. But then kind of the more I read about it, I was like, ah, no, it's genuinely bad.
Yeah.
I feel it's gotten better, but I don't feel like anybody should have to wait 6 episodes for it to get to that point. Just like if you told me this game is great, it just takes you 20 hours to get into it, I'd be like, well, that's great, but I'm not going to play it. And I feel the same thing here. And I don't know if this is a situation where, you know, they drop all these Netflix shows, they drop them 13 episodes all at once. They never have a chance to hear feedback from other people because they make them all at once and then they drop them on people. And so if people were like, look, these fight scenes suck, or this guy seems goofy, or what is his problem? You know what I mean? Any of the stuff that normally would come week to week, they just don't get it. So then it is how it is. When those 13 episodes drop, whatever problems they have in the first one, most likely they're going to be there in the 13th one. And most of the time, I feel like they've been able to not have a problem with that. This is the first time I've been like, wow, this model for this particular show does not work. Because they needed from week to week to hear people saying, what the fuck?
All right, so we are continuing to have network problems. I want to make sure we get to the girl with all the gifts. Do you have any closing thoughts on Iron Fist? Is this something you're going to finish at this point, or now that we've done the show, are you like, fuck it, I don't care anymore?
Oh, no, I'm gonna stick with it just because I love the character, and I just hope that eventually he puts on the costume and maybe given enough time to properly prepare, the next season will be good. I don't know. I just hope and pray it gets better.
Okay.
I won't give it another season like this. I can say that.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I would agree with that because I watch a lot of bait TV, but I know what you're saying. All right, before the internet completely craps out again, let's real quick get to The Girl with All the Gifts. So this was a movie that I'd actually read about. I'd heard some folks talking about it when it was at Fantastic Fest. And then you said that you were watching it. And this is another zombie movie, although it has some pretty good people in it. So Gemma Arterton, she was in that Hansel and Gretel movie. I love that fucking movie, even though I know a lot
Hell
of people
hate
it. She was in Quantum of Solace. She's been a bunch of other things. Glenn Close was in it. Patty Considine, who he's in The Bourne Ultimatum. He's in Peaky Blinders, if you watch that on Amazon Prime. He's one of these guys. He's just been in a bunch of different things. And then newcomer, I guess what her name is. Let me find it here. No, I can't find her. Sorry. That's weird. I'm looking at IMDb right now, and I can't. Oh, here it is. Senia Nanua. Anyway, so it is a British zombie movie where Senna plays a young girl named Melanie, who is, I guess for lack of a better word, she is a zombie-human hybrid. So she appears to be a young human girl, but if she gets too close to people and can smell them, she will zombie out and try to attack them. And these are your kind of fast... Can you still hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. It clicked for a second. So these are kind of your fast 28 days later zombies. They're like rage zombies. You get infected. It's a fungus that attacks your brain, similar to The Last of Us, turns you into a zombie, and then you want to make more zombies. And so we know that the scientists are experimenting on other kids like Melanie. We're not sure why. And then as happens in any sort of movie where there's zombies and humans trying to stop them, shit goes sideways. So how familiar were you with it before you started watching it?
So I didn't know who everybody that you just said was. Uh-huh. I didn't realize it was old girl from I love Hansel and Gretel. Like, I love that movie.
Oh, okay.
But I knew Glenn Close, and that was about it. But yeah, it was one of those ones, man, where I'm in these weird sort of circles on the internet, and it's one that kept popping up. People were like, hey, you know, check this out. And, there's a couple of guys who I tend to, if they like something, then I'll at least pay attention, like watch it mm-hmm. and just see. And it was one of those, you know, the Horror Guru and a couple other guys reviewed it favorably. So I was like, all right, well, I need to at least check it out.
Mm-hmm. And what did you think of it?
So I don't know what I was expecting. I never watched the trailers for these things. I just sort of am like, well, hey, somebody said I should watch it, so I just watch it.
Yeah, that's
and it's
I am.
Another movie. Yeah, I mean, you know, because
basically,
know,
if you're just, like, you should watch this, I go, okay.
Yeah, exactly, right. And I just kind of think that, you know, sometimes it works better if I don't quite know. Like, you know what I mean? I like to be surprised or, you know, whatever.
So what did you think of it, though?
I thought that – and it was something else that we watched, and I was trying to think of it today, and I can't remember. I thought that it posed – oh, it was the Blair Witch. We were talking about the Blair Witch, and
yep.
we did that one. I thought it posed some interesting ideas. I just sort of feel like they didn't elaborate on them enough.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like the first act and maybe even the first like act and a half dragged a bit much.
Yes.
And then it got interesting, but then it was almost over.
Right. I agree. So the thing that I mean, as you know, like I'm when we talked about Train to Busan, I mean, I mentioned that I just have zombie fatigue. It doesn't help that I think this season of The Walking Dead is probably one of the worst seasons they've ever done. Like, I'd take the season with the fucking barn over, like, where is Sophia for 6.5 episodes over what's going on now.
Right.
I have fallen asleep during The Walking Dead twice this season because it's just so boring. It's just so stunningly mediocre this season. And so I just, in general, have zombie fatigue. But whereas Train to Busan, I could say, well, that I think if you like zombie movies, it's a genuinely good movie. This movie, I was like, you know what? I liked it better when it was called The Last of Us, if I could pull out David Spade. The pathogen that caused the zombie was a fungus. They even talked about how there's this giant, like, given enough time, the zombies, they essentially plant roots and turn into these large colonies. They're these seed spores that'll break open. And I was like, well, this is and then you've got a young girl who could be a cure for it if we can just kind of harvest her body. And I'm like, aside from the whole kind of father-daughter thing that was going on in The Last of Us, and we do have a bit of a mother-daughter thing between Melanie and so Jenna Atherton plays her teacher going on there. I was like, well, this is obviously it's not entirely the same. But there's a lot of themes that were so similar that I was like, well, I'm kind of burned out on zombie movies, and I feel like I played this as a game. And then you get to the final act, and you've got these fucking, you know, fucking Lord of the Flies feral zombie kids, and she's, you know, Melanie's like snarling at them and yelling at them, and they're all falling, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, this... it just the only thing about it that was, you know, definitely different, although, you know, horror movies, we see it all the time, right? Like, oh, the hero, the heroine, they win, but they didn't win. You know, it's that same kind of thing, only this movie embraces that more than most horror movies do. Because, I feel like, you know, Melanie kind of realizes that, all right, y'all have had your time. It's there's plenty of us kind of hybrids. We're good. We're going to take over. It's up to us now.
This is an unwinnable situation if we stay the course.
It's unwinnable if we stay the course. So I'm going to do what I can to make sure you people aren't around anymore. And it's going to be up to us.
And so I liked that. I thought that was a good way to end it, because so many of these things you are like, well, why would you? Like, we got to fight to survive. Why? Why?
Yeah,
I mean, let's be completely honest. Most people are not going to help rebuild civilization. They're just not. Mm-hmm. And I count myself in that. What the fuck am I going to do? Seriously.
Right.
What am I going to do? If they're like, okay, the zombies are all dead, time to rebuild civilization. I'm like, well, I guess I could. I can't even make babies. I mean, I got snipped years ago. I'm fucking useless. Yeah. I'd be like,
right.
I can teach you all Neil Diamond songs of days of yore, you know? And I think most people are like that. So when Rick is like on Walking Dead, Rick's like, we got to fight. Why? What's the point?
Yeah.
It's all going to go to shit anyway, and you're going to fight, and then you're going to come across some other fucking band of miscreants who are going to try to take your shit, and then why?
Yep.
Why? What's the purpose? So it was nice to see, you know, one of the zombie people be like, okay, it's our turn now.
Yep, pretty much. But yeah.
But no,
we're
that,
in this bitch now. So.
Right, exactly. But I agree with you in that. You know, kind of the beginning, I was like, okay, what exactly are they – like, I get what they set up. That didn't take very long. I just don't know what it's for. And then kind of once things picked up some, it wasn't very long before, you know, we kind of got to the feral kids, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then it – you know. I mean, it had some lines, like when she was looking at the mural of the cat, and the woman's like, oh, do you want a cat? She's like, I already had one, you know, and I thought that was well done. And the little girl, you know, that played Melanie, she was great. I think she did a fantastic job. It's just that it's one of those things, like, I think same as you, when I read people's reviews and they're like, this is the best, this is the new must see this, or this is the best. I'm always, and it's just because I'm old and I'm cranky most of the time, I immediately are like, really? Like, I can't be like, oh, I'm excited. You know what I mean? I just don't have it in me to be excited. I tend to go into it with even more skepticism. Most of the time I'm pretty open-minded. I'm like, okay, I'll see that movie, whatever. But when I hear people say, you know, this is a new classic, fuck that. I'm already ready to tear it apart. And that's probably not a great way to live your life. It just happens. But most of the time, I'm disappointed. And then I go, well, maybe it's me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. So
I do the same thing. And that's absolutely how I went into this. I was like, all right. So here's the thing. When it's people whose opinions I don't give a shit about, or I already know that I almost always disagree with, then I don't get in a hurry to watch shit. But this one, like I said, there were people whose opinions tend to line up with mine, not all the time, but you know, enough that it makes me at least want to watch something.
Right.
Then I will go out of my way to watch whatever it is. And this is one of those times where my opinion, you know, it was close, but it didn't quite line up with what I'd heard.
Right. And I mean, and that's how I like if Tom says, oh, you should watch this, I'll watch it. If you say I should watch something, I'll watch it. And most of the time, like, I can tell, like, Train to Busan, like, I, going into it, I was like, it's a zombie movie. I'm going to have to work really hard to overcome that. And in that particular case, it didn't overcome it, but that's me. That's not the film. That's me just being tired of that particular genre and not being able to separate what they were doing from other stuff that I've seen that isn't really doing it for me at the moment.
Right.
And I can recognize that. But in this particular case, I don't know if zombie fatigue would have really made a difference. And I think go ahead.
No, I feel like, and I didn't know, I didn't want to say anything like, as you know, because we kind of talked back and forth while we were watching it, and at least a little bit, you know. And I was like, I didn't want to say anything, but man, I was just sitting there like, this is just The Last of Us,
right? And I think that's what it was. I think if I hadn't played The Last of Us, I'd be like, wow, this is a really cool idea. But I'm just like, as soon as she said fungus, I was like, oh, come on now,
This is like The Last of Us. If Joel and is it Ellie? Is that right?
Ellie,
I was like, if they had had like asshole military escort for the whole
right,
game.
Exactly, yes.
That's exactly what this movie is.
Right, right. Now, like Raw, I've heard a lot of good things about Raw. I'm
yes.
still super excited to see Raw.
I can't wait. Yeah, that's most anticipated right now for me. That's number one.
Yeah, and I think it's because I don't watch a lot of stuff like it, so I don't
yeah,
have to
exactly.
be like feel like okay, I've seen this a million times.
Yep.
So beyond that, I'm not sure. I mean, for me, the next big movie to be excited about, Fate of the Furious. I mean, that's it. That's it right there. That's right.
Yeah.
I told my wife, who had told me once Paul Walker passed away that she never wanted to see another Fast and Furious movie again. I was like, baby, for your birthday, I'm going to take you to see Fate of the Furious, because it's like 2 days after her birthday or something.
Yeah.
And every time we see a trailer, she kind of looks at me and I'm like, oh, you're going. But that's the next big one for me. Horror movies, I have no idea. Whatever you tell me.
Well, I'm gonna watch Night of Something Strange. It's probably my next one.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I will say, hey, Brandon, you need to watch Night of Something Strange. It's pretty out there. I'm gonna do that next, and then I still want to see The Barn, and I'm just gonna end up blind buying it because it's so. Like, I can't, you know, I don't even know if it's on VOD, but I'm so goddamn tired of waiting to see this movie.
I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, well, I just, man, it's one of those things where it just kept coming up in my circles, and it was like, ooh, here's our Kickstarter. We're going to make The Barn. And they had this badass poster, and I was like, okay, well, that looks kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I'll wait and see what's up. And it just went on forever. And so I'm just, at this point, I'm fucking tired of looking at the poster. I just want to see the goddamn movie. So I'm probably going to order that. And there's another one that I'm kind of that way about, Circus of the Dead, that I'll be watching.
Oh, Circus of the Dead, yeah, okay. That's the yeah. – is that a Rob Zombie one?
No, yeah. That's 31.
That's 31. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I own that one. We could talk about it if you
want to watch. I haven't seen it. I'm not a big fan of his stuff, to be perfectly honest.
Right. And this will definitely not change your mind. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't waste my time if you don't like his stuff.
Right. All right, cool. Well, unfortunately, we didn't get to Inside. We can get to that next week. So now that you're done with Resident Evil, what's next for you? I'm still plugging away at Horizon. That's going to take a minute, but I got Mass Effect on its way from Gamefly. So
nice.
What's next for you?
I'm thinking I may start streaming some Ghost Recon.
Ooh.
Yeah, just because that's basically all I'm doing right now, man. It's got its hooks in me pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We played last night. So the thing is, so the post drunk watch shit is not going to be worth uploading. I mean,
sure.
it might be for comedic value because
sure.
I never remember it, but from what I'm told, it's pretty funny. But I don't know. So I may stream it like maybe this week or something, or I'm not gonna play this week, but like next week, we'll see what happens. And I may watch the footage and be like, fuck no. But when Chris and I, or even Frozen and I get together and it's not post drunk watch, like last night we had a great time and it would have been great to stream it because we were some tactical motherfuckers last night. Like we were calling shit out.
Uh-huh.
We were never seen. You know, it was like the way you're meant
to
play the game.
The way it's supposed to be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Maybe that. And then I'm going to go back to The Witcher.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to do it because I left that shit in the middle of a storyline, and if nothing else, I'm at least going to complete that and hopefully maybe try to learn how to play the fucking game that it's not it's such a headache, man. I think I don't know how to play it. I think that's my problem.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I bought it and it's like the fucking, you know, end all be all edition.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get into the content. It's
sure.
just like, I don't think this is the movie for you. Movie shit. This is not the game to take your Witcher baby steps in.
Actually, it is. Compared to
is
the
it
other
shit?
Two, yeah, it totally is. Yeah, Witcher 1 was supposed to be incredibly difficult. Witcher 2, it totally is. It is the most non-Witcher person-friendly Witcher game, if that makes sense.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a rhythm to things. There's no doubt about it. And there is a bit of a learning curve. No, it's different, and it just takes a while to get used to it. But I think having played Witcher, and I played through Witcher 2 twice, once on hard. I got all the achievements in Witcher 2. And I played the entire first round not knowing there was a light strike. I did heavy strikes the entire time because I didn't know. And it wasn't until I started my second playthrough and they did the tutorial and I was like, oh shit, that's much easier.
Nice.
But no, Witcher 3 is definitely like, in terms of people who haven't played, it's the best one.
Gotcha.
So take it or leave it.
We'll see how it goes.
Exactly. All right, cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Of course, you can check out the YouTube channels, Twitch channels, and all that good stuff for anything you may have missed. You can follow Mitch and I on Twitter if you always want to know what's going down. But we appreciate you hanging out, and we hope to see you again here in the next 2 weeks, and we'll figure out something to talk about. I'm sure we'll always come up with something. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 18. Thank you again. Good night, and have a good evening.